Week Live, brought to you exclusively by Abu Garcia.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? I hope you're having a wonderful day, evening, afternoon, wherever you're at, wherever you're watching or listening. We got a great brand new show for you today, and you're in for a treat. You know, a lot of these shows, you're going to hear from people that are quasi-celebrities, whether they're professional anglers in the sport or athletes or actors or whatever. But today, I'm excited because we got a local, when I say local, New Jersey, Northeast, regular dude on the show. And I joked with him just a second ago when we were doing a sound check that I would butcher his last name, but I'm going to try not to. Joining us in just a minute, Jake Corcules joins us. And I'm going to make sure that's correct when he gets back on. But if you follow kayak fishing and professional kayak fishing, you know, at the end of February, some kid from Jersey showed up at Lake Murray, Giant Lake, professional Bassmaster kayak event, and wins the whole thing. It was really awesome to see it from afar. You know, I think I was, want to say I was at Fork or Toledo Bend when it happened, but I, of course, I follow all the trails. And when I saw that Jake won, saw that a New Jersey guy won, I was so happy and so stoked. So very excited to get him on the show. Let me remind you that Ike Live is brought to you by Abu Garcia. So excited to have them supporting this podcast. Abu's been around for a long time, and they're making some really good stuff. Listen to me. I just want to highlight one product real quick. If you're a hermit, you might not know this, but if you're not a hermit, forward-facing sonar is dominating fishing right now. And I don't know that I love that personally, but it is. And they have a spinning reel called a Rocket. The Revo Rocket spinning reel has a gear ratio of 7:6:1. So when you see them, you can burn that bait back in, make a cast to them. Forward-facing sonar is all about making a lot of casts. So check out that spinning reel. It's the Revo Rocket Ultra Fast 7:6:1 gear ratio. Go check that out at abugarcia.com, or of course Tackle Warehouse has it. This podcast is also brought to you by the Ike Foundation. Man, if you want to get more kids fishing, head on over to the IkeFoundation.org and see how you could help. We've got all our new stuff up there on the schedule, so go check it out. And by the way, we are filming and recording this podcast right before the Bassmaster Classic. This will probably air down the road, but in a few days, we're going to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma, getting city kids fishing at a city lake. It's the Sunday of the Classic. So very excited about some of the work we're doing to get new kids fishing. All right, enough of that. Let's get Jake on. I can't wait to talk to him about everything that went down. Very, very, very excited. Let's see if I can push this button. Joining us now, let's see. Jake, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you good.
Dude, thanks for coming on the show. All right, first things first. Did I do okay with your last name or did I butcher it?
You did all right. It's Kukulis, like cuckoo.
Like cuckoo.
Like couscous, like the little pasta.
Oh, like couscous. Oh, I thought you said like cuckoo. I was going to say, I get that a lot. And my name doesn't sound anything like cuckoo. And I get that a lot.
I hear it from time to time, too.
All right. First things first, Jake, where are you from in New Jersey? What part of the state do you live in?
So like central, like right outside of Philly.
Right outside of Philly. That's awesome. Yeah. It's, I mean, this is, it's funny because New Jersey is such a small state. But it's big. Like I try to explain that to people all the time, you know, and I'm like, look, you have this dividing line, which is like Trenton. And if you're north of that, you're like a North Jersey, New York City guy. And if you're south of that, you're a Jersey, Philly guy. So small state, but distinctive areas. What I like to ask this of a lot of my guests, what drew you to fishing? How did you start? What drew you to the sport? Because a young kid growing up in Jersey, and I'm saying this from the heart because it's me, right? A young kid growing up in New Jersey, Runnymede or Mount Laurel or Trenton or wherever, fishing's not necessarily, you know, a thing that is big, you know, in New Jersey for a kid. What got you into it? Did you start early? Did you start late? Tell me about
My uncle took me for the first time when I was four, and we went to a little golf course around here, and I caught my first fish on a jitterbug, and that was like my first real memory in life. It was just so amazing seeing that fish come up and splash that topwater. Like, and then I remember when I was five, I seen you win the classic at the Delta. And I was like, dude, this is what people do as a job. Like, that's all I ever want to do. Like, that's yes. The best job of all time. Like,
yes. And that's awesome.
I didn't realize how expensive everything was until I got a little bit older. And I started realizing, wow, you need a good job just to get into this. But yeah, I'm trying as hard as I can to work my way up the ladder now.
Yeah. Well, you were hooked early. It's funny because I had a very similar experience. Probably actually I was a little older. It was probably, 9, 10 years old or whatever. But I had a topwater bite too. And it's funny because I've talked to so many people that they can remember the fish that hooked them, like literally, that hooked them in the sport. And it's uncanny how many of those stories involve a topwater. Mine was actually just a Rapala floating minnow, and I was fishing it like a topwater.
I remember reading in your book.
Yeah, I was fishing it like a topwater, and it wasn't even like a giant. It was like a 2 or 3 pounder. But it honestly, like that fish, I've said it a million times, but that fish did change my life. And it sounds like that jitterbug fish kind of did the same thing for you.
Oh yeah, it was only like a 10-incher, but it seemed like a 10-pounder to me back then.
That's crazy. That's crazy. So you had this aspiration from a young age. When did you decide to start dabbling in the kayak competition realm? Is that new, or have you been trying it for a few years?
No, I've been doing it for a couple of years now. The first tournament I actually fished was one of your Ike Foundation tournaments. I think it was 2019. It was Cooper River and Newton Lake.
They're
like both right down the street from me.
Yeah. Yep. I remember that.
I didn't realize how many clubs there was in New Jersey until after that. And I found out about the South Jersey Kayak Club.
Yes.
And then the North Jersey Kayak Club. It used to be called Garden State. Now they have the Mid Jersey Kayak Club. And then once I found out about those, I joined all three, and I've just been fishing everyone I could ever since.
That's awesome. Well, I've got some friends over at the South Jersey Kayak Fishing Club. A lot of those guys I've seen at some of the Ike Foundation events, they'll come out and support that. So that's cool that you have that local tie-in too. I love that. What gave you, here, and again, a lot of this, as you're talking, I'm hearing myself, honestly, like this is the coolest thing, because now, like when I was in my 20s, when I graduated high school and I was in my late teens, early 20s, there was no such thing as kayak fishing back then. It's crazy that how big it is now. But when I flash back to when I was young, there was no such thing, but we had small boat fishing, which to me, Jake, it's very similar, being in a 10-foot John boat or a Coleman crawdad or a bass hunter, a polyurethane. Mm-hmm. It's very, very similar. So that was my start too, and I remember joining that club and, it gave me the desire to sort of want to get to the next level, like my first year fishing a club, I didn't do so great. Did okay. The next year I did a little better. The next year I started winning some club events. And then I was like, man, I want to see how far I could push it. When did you decide to take it from, a local, more of a hobby thing to let's try some national events? When did that start?
The first year I did mostly all local stuff. And yeah, I mostly just got my teeth kicked in. I hadn't fished most of them really big lakes like we have before. So then like a year or two went in, I started getting better. I started actually like placing in the tournaments. Then I found out about the KBF like national trail.
Yeah.
And I think the first one I did was Murray 2021. And I tried to do as many as I could ever since that, but a lot of them they're far from here. I mean,
Oh yeah.
Alabama's not Alabama or Florida or Texas. It's not an easy drive from here, so I can't afford to do all of them. But I've been trying to do as many as I could. Like if they come to Champlain or Potomac or anywhere that was reasonable driving distance.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And KBF, of course, if you're watching or listening, there are three, in my opinion, there are three really top tier professional leagues. Of course, KBF being one of them, the Hobie events being one of them, and then the Bassmaster Series, which, man, talk about momentum and, you know, just getting bigger and bigger every year. It's just shocking how big these circuits are getting. But the Bassmaster kayak circuit, of course, one of the big ones out there. And I love that circuit. And I can tell you this, Jake, I am a kayak guy. I tried for years and years and years to win one. Just like in big boat tournaments, they're hard to win.
Oh, yeah, you don't have a 250 to run around, dude, the lake in the kayak.
They're hard to win. I mean, it's just as hardcore as the elites. There's just as many good sticks fishing. And when I won that one on the Upper Bay a few years ago, dude, it was a goal. It was like a dream come true for me. It was honestly a big goal of mine to try to win one of those. And it's a big deal. So, you know, you go down to Murray and win that thing. It's gotta feel great, because listen, not taking anything away from a club win or maybe a more local or regional win, but for, you know, a Jersey guy to get out of his element. Like when I won on the Chesapeake Bay, that's sort of like my home fishery. So that didn't even mean as much, but for a Jersey guy to, you know, drive 9 hours to Murray and not just compete, but to win against that caliber of anglers, dude, I'm blown away. It's so impressive. I mean, it had to feel good, you know, when it was all said and done.
Oh yeah, it still feels awesome. I mean, it still doesn't feel real sometimes looking over and seeing this blue trophy in my room.
Isn't it great? I love my trophy.
The club tournaments.
Dude, see, they got bigger. Now I feel obligated to win another one because they got bigger since the one that I won. Mine's about half that size, but it's awesome.
But back to your question, I did feel really comfortable at Murray because I've been there the last 3 years with KBF at that same time. So I had a pretty good idea of how it was going to go down, like what area I wanted to be in.
Yeah.
And that lake, certain parts of the lake is kind of similar to lakes up here. Like normally when I go there, I fish like the clearer water down by the dam.
Clean water.
It reminds me more of like a Hopatcong or Candlewood or a lake like that around here.
Greenwood, Hopatcong, Merrill
I haven't
Creek.
Been to Greenwood yet.
Yeah, very
I
similar.
Go there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's unbelievable. And I'm sure that experience helped you, because one of the questions I had written down was, how the hell did you go to a lake that big, you know, and dial it in? You know, and it's tough because I've been at kayak events, and in big boat events, it's intimidating when you get to a new place that's giant. But in kayak events, you already mentioned it, but if somebody's watching and listening and you're not familiar with it, you've got to make some decisions and you've got to have a game plan, because you can't fish 40,000 acres in a kayak in a couple practice days. It just doesn't work, you know? So were you able to put in some pre-practice, or how did that work?
I had 2 days of practice, but I really kind of knew where I wanted to fish. I mean, if my two practice days bombed, I would have changed up, but there's one area that for some reason I've always done good there. And I've launched at a bunch of different places because, yeah, I've been there 3 years in a row before this. The first time I went, I'd never been to a reservoir like that. Like, we don't have lakes that big.
No.
Like, for the first day I went, me and my buddy who went down there, we drove for like 4 hours. It's like, dude, this is all the same lake, man. Like, there's everything. It's rivers and muddy and rock and deep
it's
and
crazy.
Clear. It's like, it's overwhelming almost. Like,
it's so big. It's so big. It that feeling, man, if you've never felt it, as a competitor in a tournament, it is overwhelming. I mean, it's, it almost takes your breath away because you think, how the heck am I going to figure this out? But great strategy. You know, you had confidence in an area and you had a couple practice days. I love, and you know, and I'm not taking anything away from these guys, but I love the anglers that show up with a few days of practice or no practice and they're able to do well or win. And, you know, I've fished these events long enough to know, and Jake, you know, some of these guys, this is what they do now, right? This is what they do. And there's a percentage, let's call it 30% of that field are full-time professional kayak anglers now. And Jake, they fished for weeks leading up to that tournament. I'm not kidding you. Like, I'm not joking.
Charles told me.
Oh yeah. I'm not kidding. Like I know, like, these guys are putting in weeks of practice. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to compete with that, you know, because they have the luxury, but regular dude from Jersey, regular, you know, 9-to-5 job going down and winning, dude. It's so impressive. By the way, Jake, what's your regular gig? What's your regular 9-to-5 gig?
I work at RCBC. You might know it. It's like the community college in Mount Laurel. I'm a groundskeeper.
Awesome. Yep.
So I cut the grass. Earlier we were trimming some bushes. That kind of sucked because they were covered in pond. Got a little bit of allergies from that, but it's a living. It's a way to make money for now.
I was going to ask, do they have a pond on the property? And if so, you should put that brush and stuff in the pond to make some cover.
They do have a pond, and I did get yelled at for fishing it one time.
Oh, that's so good.
I seen a little male cruising the bank one time. I was like, oh, let me just run back to my car real quick. Nobody's going to notice.
That's awesome. Now, I, you know, on these Ike Lives, I tend to try to steer away from the techniques and stuff like that. You know, like, man, I always said, if guys want to hear that, go over to Bass University or go to that. But I am curious, like, tell me a little just how you won. And the big question, I don't know if you heard me in the beginning of the show, Jake, forward facing sonar is it's taking over on the professional scene, not just in big boat tournaments, but if you really watch, a lot of these kayak anglers now are taking hold of that technology and rigging their boat kayaks out with that technology. Did that play a part? And how did you win?
No, I have Lowrance Active Target, but I did not bring it with me.
Yeah,
I have everything on my YouTube video to watch, but I just didn't bring it with me because I feel like it was more of a distraction than anything to me last year. I was spending more time scanning around looking for fish than I was actually fishing. And
yeah,
the way I like to fish there is power fishing. And it's hard to power fish and burn a crankbait and then scan around and look at the same time. Like, it was such a distraction for me.
Yeah.
This year I was like, you know, I'm leaving at home. I have my side imaging. I have a Helix 7. That's what I really relied on. The baits that I caught them on a 3/4 ounce chatterbait. That's what I caught, like, the biggest ones on. I caught a lot on that tactical bass and crankbait, the River to Sea.
Yeah.
I caught a couple on a wobblehead with a rage crawl, and I caught one on a rock crawler and one on a DT-10. You'll like that one.
Yeah. All power fishing, man. I love it. And, you know, I don't want to bash forward facing sonar, but I enjoy hearing guys that are fishing and winning and having success by fishing with instinct and power fishing. And, man, it's great. It's great to hear that that you won that way, because it's the way that I prefer to fish, for sure.
It's hard to unlearn 20 years of fishing without forward facing sonar. Like,
it is.
It was really, I thought it was going to be easy, honestly, when I got out. I was like, oh, I'm going to just go out and crush them now. But it's really not nearly as easy as those guys make it look, like Fujita and that Trent McKinney. Like,
it's not,
people
it's
hate
not
on
easy.
Them, but I mean, there's definitely a skill to it, like.
It's definitely not easy. It's awesome that you have that trophy. It's awesome that you have the accolade. You know, nobody can ever take that away from you. And of course, it's nice. The money's nice now too, because, you know, listen, if you're watching and listening and you're like, well, how, you know, don't think that these are club tournaments now. A lot of these events are paying in the thousands of dollars. And we've got championship events now. Do you know off the top of your head, Jake, what's the Bassmaster Championship, their classic event pay? It's pretty high.
I think this year's is like
$25,000. I think the Hobie has been in excess of $30,000. Dude, that's big money. Like, I am so impressed by that. And it's like, to have this part of the sport growing and getting to that stage, it's just, I'm so happy about that. I mean, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. So you had a big payday. But even with that, you know, you mentioned it earlier, and I want to get back to it because this is a reality of trying to do this. It's expensive. It's expensive as hell. Like, yeah. Especially when you add the traveling, the lodging, the food, the entry fees, the equipment, like, you know,
Something always breaks, right?
You start adding all that stuff up. It's very expensive. Now, with you doing this now at the national level with these events, do you have a big sponsor portfolio, or tell me about that?
No, I don't really have any sponsors right now. I used to fish for the KFL. I don't know if you know that. It's like the kayak fishing league. So okay. I was on a team for New Hampshire. So we had some sponsors, but I don't have any personal sponsors as of right now. No.
Right.
I'm not really, I always kind of go by the old school way of like, if a sponsor really wants you, they're going to go find you and reach out to you. Like, you got to prove yourself first. I'm not going to sit here on Instagram begging people to sponsor me. Like, I'd rather go cut grass and work and make my own money. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Well, sponsorship is a gift and it's a curse. It could be both. So, I hear what you're saying, but dude, it's impressive because, and I've had some other guys on here that when their career started, very similar to what you're saying, even as they got into the professional levels, whether it was kayak or a boat or whatever, the first couple of years, they were still just grinding on their own. And the thing that I always love about that, not taking anything away from sponsor guys, I'm one of them, right? I'm one of them. But there's a fire and a drive that you have that's different when... And it's hard to explain this, but when you're not making a living with sponsorship and you're doing it all based off pure passion, your fire, right? That drive, it's different. And I'm always impressed by that. Is that what, because if this was about the money, you obviously would have stopped probably years ago, right? This is a tough way to make a living.
I would have went to school for something else, right? If I cared about money that much.
right. So talk about that, because I think it's important. You know, I think too many people assume that guys only get involved in this with aspirations of having million-dollar sponsorships. Like, that's great, but people get in this because they love it. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I went through my struggles. I mean, I remember going to Champlain and not even knowing where, not having a place to stay. So I would just stay at McDonald's and charge all my batteries in there, re-rig all my rods in there, stay up all night till 2 a.m., wait till the batteries charge, wake back up at 4 a.m. to get back out on the water. And, like, I've done all that struggle on my own, and that's why it just makes it so much better when it actually pays off and you actually win. Because I had so many times driving down to Gunnersville or driving the Champlain, and you come so close, and it's like you just drive home and you're just thinking, like, man, what if I would have thrown this bait at this time, or what if that fish didn't jump off? And you're just thinking of all the things that could have would have should have. So for when it all actually works out, it's just an amazing feeling.
It is it's funny. Again, so many things you're saying, I'm reminded of my beginnings, and yes, I could relate to that. Sleeping in the car, Jones and electricity. My favorite used to be Walmart's. I used to love to, because the sides of Walmart's, like the bigger Walmart's, would always have outlets, and either the garden center or on the other side where the food was, I was always able to sort of parallel park and Jones some electricity. So I'm hearing a lot of things that I dealt with.
The worst is the when the street cleaner comes and it's like 2 a.m. you're sleeping in your car, all of a sudden you hear the spinning. It's like, what is that thing, man? Like, I'm trying to sleep. I got to be up in 2 more hours. Like, you don't have to clean around my car right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have painted that.
It's so funny. And we've had a lot of very successful anglers on this podcast that have had the same exact beginning, Shake. Probably the most famous, Brandon Polinick, we've had on a few times on the show, and very, very similar stories of what you're talking about, but also similar stories of that drive and determination. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I think, try to think of the right way to say this. I think sometimes the struggle, the dirty part of the job, the failure, the things that aren't glamorous in the beginning is what takes you to the next level. And it's also the things that make it feel better. You know what I mean? Like, listen, yeah. if you're on a daddy's paycheck since you were a kid and money's not a problem, I think that
accomplishment doesn't hurt as bad.
I don't think it means as much. I honestly don't. And I love that. I love that, you know, grassroots working guy. I've always rooted for that guy to do well. And man, that's amazing. Now I do have to, one of my friends, Bailey fishes some of the kayak events as well, sent me a text after you won and gave me a story. And Bailey sometimes he throws me a little bull sometimes, but sometimes the stories are true. And he told me the story. I don't remember the exact details, but told me the story of you having this, like, literally skip meals. Like, I'm saying, like, not eating to save money for entry fees. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, you can ask Audi or Angeles. Like, I mean, there'd be times where I'd go out to eat and I'd be like, I don't want to go with you guys. I can't afford Longhorn right now. Like, I barely afford McDonald's. Like, my parents never really supported the fishing thing. Like, they always thought it was like a pipe dream. So they didn't really help me with anything like that. It's always been me on my own, like, trying so hard to make it because there's nothing else that, I don't know, there's nothing else that drives me like that. Like, I've tried doing other normal jobs, and I can do a normal job, but my whole motivation every day to get through that job is, all right, I just got to get to the weekend, and I can get back out and go fishing again.
Like, yeah. Yep. I can very much relate to that. I can very much relate to that. I want to ask you, you know, this is, I'm looking at your progress, starting from being a kid, just falling in love with the sport, a lot of us do, to getting into kayak fishing, to joining these clubs, to then starting to fish nationally and now having success nationally. I'd be a disservice to the show if I didn't ask you, what is your goal, Jake? Like, what is your long-term goal? Because, and there's not a right or wrong answer here, but I'm curious, what is your goal? Do you want to take this to the next level? And do you want to be a Christine Fisher or a Jody Queen? Do you want to do that? Or do you love what you're doing now? Do you love the opportunities that you're having just being a regular dude?
I mean, my life goal was always the Bassmaster Classic. That was always the carrot, like, at the end of the tunnel that I've been chasing. But it's so unrealistic right now just because of how expensive boats and everything like that are. Like, I'd still love to do that one day, but it's just hard to see that right now, just being so expensive. So if I could be a professional kayak fisherman, I mean, I'd be really happy. Like, fishing is fishing. If I could be a professional bank fisherman, I would be down for that. Like, as long as I could be a fisherman and not have to cut grass every day, that would really be the number one goal, no matter how it was. I love competitive fishing the best, though. I love tournament fishing.
Yeah. Like,
there's just something about winning that just, I don't know, nothing feels as good as that. I mean, yeah. I love catching big fish too, but it's different when it's on, when money's on the line. Even if it's not money, even if you're just going out and you're against your buddy and you just want to beat him for the day and you get the bragging rights over him, like, that's just the best to me.
It's such a good feeling. It's same for me. And it was always that, like puzzle that I wanted to solve, you know, and it was even when I'd be by myself, nobody around, it was like, it was always me against the fish. And like, I wanted to be the best at that on that day at figuring out the puzzle, you know? And, it sounds very similar, you know?
Yeah. That's why I'm not like, I don't really like going to like private ponds and golf course ponds and stuff like that anymore. Like, it's fun every once in a while to just go and catch them. But like you said, the puzzle is the fun part. The fun part is having to grind for so hard and then figure them out. And then you figure them out. It's like, oh man, they're at this depth. They're biting this crankbait at this speed. And then you start catching them. And then that's the rewarding part. If they're just going to catch anything and I'll throw in the lake, like, I mean, it's still fun, but it's not nearly as rewarding.
Yep. Yep. I would agree with that. Well, here's the great thing. And I mentioned it earlier, you know, I see kayak fishing just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's so cool to watch it because, and I wasn't even there from the beginning. I've got some friends that have been there from the very beginning, but it's been very, very cool for me to watch this sport go from almost like a fringe, you know, like a fringe thing, like, oh, those kayak fishermen, you know, like putting those guys in the corner to it being this big mainstream sport now. And with the money and the leagues and the names, and now you've got sponsored anglers and you've got, you know, Kayak Universe, Bass University for crying out loud has a kayak section now. And it's just been so, so cool to watch it. So I think you're on the right track, you know, whether or not you decide to move to the boat level or not, you're on the right track. And I think there aren't going to be less opportunities in the future. I think there's going to be more. And here's the other thing too. That win qualifies you for the Kayak Classic, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. Oh yeah. 2025 next year.
So that's pretty fucking awesome. Like, I mean, you had the aspiration of making the Classic. You kind of did, you know, that's the Classic. It's just on the kayak side, you know?
Oh yeah. I'm so excited for that. I like that they schedule it before the actual Classic so I can go to the actual Classic too.
Yes.
Because I've never been there before. I really want to see the expo and the blast off and just see how the guys are. And like, I know they're probably all wound up tight, like so excited. Probably sleep deprived from the whole week before. And like,
oh yeah,
it's just gonna be so exciting to go and see it.
That's awesome. Well, I hope I'm there fishing it next year on the boat side. But if I'm not, let everybody know right now. I haven't, I think I've officially said this, but I 100% am fishing the Susquehanna River Bassmaster Kayak event, which I think is in July, June
27th and 28th.
Yes, this year. And I'm very, very excited. So I would love to join you on the Kayak Classic side. I hope I could do well enough. What is it? I think they take like two or three, right? Don't they take a couple, or is it just the winner now?
I don't know if it's the top five or top three. I honestly am not sure.
Okay. Well, that would be my goal to make that event because it is a big deal. And I actually got to fish one. I fished the Kayak Classic the year that I won the Upper Chesapeake Bay. And it was awesome. It was just a great event. The top 10 guys, of course, got to weigh in on the stage. I didn't make the top 10, but really well-run tournament. And just being at the big stage, it's incredible, you know?
Just
incredible.
The fact that it's Bassmaster makes it mean so much more, at least to me, growing up reading the magazines and watching it every Saturday.
Yeah. I want to switch gears just a little bit, Jake, with you real quick. And a lot of people that listen to this podcast or watch this podcast are not kayak guys. We have a lot of anglers that love kayak fishing, men and women, kids that love kayak fishing that watch it, but a lot don't. And you know, I think a lot of them are just, maybe they're confused. Maybe I don't know. Or maybe they just don't see it the way that I see it, but I'd like to hear from you. Why kayak fishing? What do you love about it? Why did you get involved in it? Tell me about that.
The biggest reason, honestly, I got involved in it was because it was a lot cheaper to get involved in than the big boats.
Affordability.
There's things that you can do in a kayak that you can't do in a bass boat too. There's spots that you can get into. Like, nobody's taking their bass boat out in the Susquehanna. Like, maybe a jet boat, but
right.
But there's certain places that I'll go. I'm not going to say, but back into the woods or whatever, when you got to drag it through there, you aren't dragging a bass boat through the woods to get back in there.
Yes.
Like, there is advantages to the kayaks. And I mean, nowadays it's almost just like little bass boats now with all the motors and live scopes and three different sonars and all the things guys got on there, they're basically mini bass boats at this point. So I don't think that there should be this divide between like kayak guys and bass boat guys. Like, we're all bass fishermen. Like, it's all the same thing to me. I don't care. Yeah, if I'm on the bank, like, I'm still fishing for bass. It's the same.
And you hit it on the head. Like, I love kayak fishing because of that accessibility, you know? And it's like, here's the reality, man. You already mentioned it. Dude, if there's a kid, let's say, you know, 15 to 20, 20 some year old kid, I call it 20 year old kid because I'm old now. I can do that. It's hard to look at professional fishing and actually get involved, right? Because regular dudes, how the hell are you going to afford that? It's ridiculous. But I love the accessibility of kayak fishing. And, you know, not even like these duped out kayaks. And I've got one, but you can go to Dick's and get started in a $400 kayak. You can get
That's where I started.
Yeah.
Nine and a half foot sit-in, $300 from Dick's.
Yeah. My first kayak was a Pelican fishing kayak from Dick's. I think it was $399 or $499. So same thing. Yeah. But I love the accessibility of it. I love the access of it. You mentioned that, getting places you can't get. But here's the thing I love the most, and I want to make sure I say that, you know, like, you heard me say that story about my original small boat club, Top Rod Bassmasters. I joined it, right? What I loved about that is what I love about kayak fishing, which is it's like you and the fish, and it's all going on right in front of you. You know, like hand-to-hand combat. Like, you can touch the fish, like reach out and touch them. And it's like the more I got involved in big boats or salt water or whatever. And I love that fishing too. Don't get me wrong, but it has removed me away from that. And I love that you're at the ground level sort of with the fish. And it just, I don't know. It takes me back to my youth. It takes me back to why I fell in love with the sport, you know? And I love that about kayak fishing. And you honestly can't get that the same in bigger boat fishing, you know? Mm-hmm. You can't. So I love that about it. Let me do this. I'm going to put you on the spot. And for our kayak anglers watching and listening, one of the things you mentioned it, you know, guys with their kayaks, their mini bass boats, guys, they are DIY specials. If you're watching and you want to get into this, it's so fun because you can trick them out. You can, rig it the way you like it. You can create things, you know, rig stuff on your own. And I love that. Like, my kayak's unique. I do things on mine that no one else does. The way some of the things I do in that kayak are unique. For our kayak anglers watching, do you want to give a couple? Do you have anything that you do from a rigging standpoint that's unique? Or do you have any tips from a fishing perspective for our kayak anglers watching or listening?
Tip. The hardest part is at first, is especially if you don't have a good kayak, it's hard to learn how to sit down and fish. Mm. That's one thing that's hard. And that changes a lot of your angles, like hook sets, casting. Also, the kayak being so light, when you're cranking or doing anything where the bait is pulling, a lot of times you're going to pull the kayak towards
right.
you.
Right. So,
like, fishing a deep crankbait, like, a lot of times if you're just learning, and if it's not in the tournament, if you're not allowed to stroll, don't do it. But if you can cast and then back out and then let the line out and then crank, a lot of times you'll get better depth out of your deep crankbaits doing that. Because a lot of times the kayak being so light, it's going to get pulled towards the bait.
Right.
Just from the bait pulling. A glide bait will do the same thing.
It's a good tip. I struggle with, and I'd like to get your opinion on it. I struggle with the first thing you said, which is adjusting the way that I fish sitting down and being low to the water. And I did things in my fishing to counter that, to make that adjustment. What can guys do? Should they go to longer rods, shorter rods? Should they go to all braid? What should they do to compensate for that?
I don't know if there's any one thing that I can tell you to do besides go out there and just do it and practice it and do it more. I mean, I used to buy into the shorter rods thing when I first started doing it. But now I actually like a longer run.
Me too.
I think it gives me,
a
longer cast, and I can get more into
more leverage.
Set the hook.
Way more leverage. 100%. I'm with you on that one. And I hear the short rods, and I've had people question me about it, but I went up in length on all my rods. So I agree.
Dude, that's something I've really been doing recently. And somebody said something to me about it not too long ago. How do you use that 8-foot rod in the kayak? It's like, well, it feels weird at first, but everything feels weird at first. Like, you just got to go out and get used to it. Once you get used to it and you have all that extra leverage and control over the fish, it makes it a lot easier.
It does. It does. Big time.
A lot farther. Because a lot of times when you're sitting down, you just can't cast as far as if you're standing up.
100%. 100%. My favorite rod, like I've narrowed it down to a few, but I want to throw this out there real quick. And this is before, really, honestly, I got into kayak fishing. I made a rod for Abu Garcia and the Ike series that was a 7.6. And it was a medium, but it just maybe a little toward medium heavy. Not really a medium heavy, but medium, just a little heavier than straight medium. Dude, that's become my spinning rod for kayak fishing. And guys are like, a 7.6 spinning? Like, why so long? And I'm like, for exactly the same reason you just said. Distance and leverage and power. And I feel like I have more control of what the bait's doing. And I have more control of the fish when I have it hooked, you know, with that big rod. So I agree. 100%. I agree. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah,
that's
pretty
something
awesome.
I've really been doing the past couple of years is lengthening all my rods. I use a lot of 7.6. I have a 7.11 that I was using for cranking a lot down there. I mean, there is a time and place for a shorter rod, especially if you're around docks or trees or something where you really need a real accurate cast. Maybe throwing a spinner bait or a jig, then I'll go to a shorter rod.
Right.
But if I'm fishing open water, I feel like the longer rod is just going to give you more benefit. You just got to get used to the feel of it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. What's next, Jake? What do you got next now? Like, you know, big win. And then some guys have a tendency to say, oh, that's what I wanted to do. I'm done for this year. But what do you have in store for the rest of 2024? Do you have a couple more national events you're fishing, or tell me about what you got happening?
Yeah, I plan on doing the rest of the Bassmaster except Possum Kingdom. Like, I can't do that to my car right now.
Yeah, that's a hike. That's a hike. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and it's a quick kind of turnaround. So I'm gonna do local tournaments. This weekend we have Slay Nation. Then I think there's like Mid Atlantic and a North tournament the next weekend, and then Easter, and then I'll look at the schedules after that. But I'll be doing tournaments probably almost every weekend until Gunnersville. That's the next big one. That's Bassmaster. And then, like you said, the Susky at Bassmaster, that's another big one. And then Caddo in October, that'll give me enough time to hopefully get everything good with my car before that. So I was just having like a little problem with my car last week. So
yeah, well, that's a hell of a schedule. And so I couple notes on that. So of course, Gunnersville, world famous lake, and last year another New Jersey guy, Greg DePalma, won. So. Hey man, I'm not like boasting, but I do want to brag on New Jersey a little bit. We got 3 national Bassmaster kayak wins from 3 different Jersey guys. Shout out to New Jersey. We can fish from this state, y'all.
Oh yeah.
You like how I mixed the y'all with the New Jersey. Just throw it in there. So that'll be exciting. And then I did want to mention that I knew about the Slay because my son Vegas and his junior partner Max, they're fishing it this year in a tiny boat.
Oh,
so
no.
They're going to be at Mercer. And we're excited. I'm excited as a dad, as a parent. I can tell you, I'm excited for those two because here's the thing, Jake. Up until this point, they've always had a boat captain with them. You know what I mean? So, like, they've had someone to say, you know, I want to go over here or, you know, someone to just sort of lean on. And now they're doing it on their own. And I'm very excited for them to start, just like in kayak fishing, right? Start making those decisions. When do I stay? When do I leave? Time management, learning how to catch, photograph, and release. Like, learn, you know, I'm excited for them to learn that because I feel like, you know, being a rider with someone and catching fish is a different thing than figuring it all out yourself. you know, so I'm excited for him. So I think you'll see my son out there on Sunday. It's Mercer, right? On Sunday?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So you'll see him.
Good to
know.
I'll be fishing for second place with Vegas out there.
I don't know. I, man, my son doesn't listen to any of these podcasts, so I can say this, but there is something very good about having failure. And, you know, as a dad, I don't want my son to fail. I don't want his partner Max to fail, but I think there is like legitimate power in having failure and learning from that, you know? So I just want them to have the experiences of making the mistakes or making the bad decision, not just always catching them. You know what I mean? Like a few years ago, not last year, year before, Vegas zeroed at Merle Creek. And it was one of the most humbling things for him, you know, and he caught a lot of bass, just never caught a keeper, and he made some bad decisions, you know, and as a dad, I hated it for him. But as a competitor, I'm like, bro, you got to learn how to fail just as much as you do how to succeed, you know? So I'm not wishing bad on my son, but I hope they can fail and learn from that too this year, you know? So.
Oh, yeah, you fish enough tournaments, you're going to have some bad ones. I mean, remember Kevin came here, he only caught one in 2 days.
One fish on the Delaware River. Now, that's a challenging place, but still, but still, it's tough. Yeah.
Anyone, you fish enough tournaments, I mean, things are just going to go wrong. I mean, it's part of it, though. Yeah, like you said, that's really the ones you grow from. Like, I feel like you learn more from the failure than the good tournaments. A lot of times, the good tournaments, it just happens. Like, there's not anything different. Like, it's just, it's your day. And then sometimes it's not your day at all. No matter what you do, it's just going to go wrong. Things are going to break. And I feel like you learn a lot from that. And that's like, in the Murray, that was one of my biggest focuses, was let me just control what I can control. I can't control if some dude comes and cuts me off and starts fishing my spot, but I can control that I tied a perfect knot. My line's perfect. All my hooks are perfect. Split rings, everything. Like, everything in my control was perfect. And then whatever else happens, happens.
Yeah. Just focus on the controllables. It's a great lesson. And I don't care if you're bank fishing or kayak fishing or big boat fishing, that is a golden rule that you have to remember. So it's an awesome tip. It's an awesome tip. Jake, I'm telling you, listen to me. I'm so freaking stoked for you. You know, and again, it's like, because you're a Jersey guy, of course, but because you're a regular dude, and I love that. I love that. It's a great inspirational story, you know, because here's the thing, man. There's a lot of regular dudes out there, you know, just a regular dude from New Jersey or Pennsylvania or Ohio or wherever, regular guy or girl, but they have that passion and they love fishing, and you did it. You captured that spirit, and you were able to win at a national level. And dude, hats off to you, man. That was so impressive for that win. Awesome.
Thank you, man. That means so much coming from you. And yeah, God willing, hopefully this is just the beginning. I mean, I don't plan on stopping fishing anytime soon. Yeah. So hopefully it's only up from here.
Well, I got a good feeling you're going to do really, really good. And I will get to see you for sure at the Susquehanna event. Looking forward to hopefully running into you there. That's going to be a fun one. A lot of fish are going to bite in that one. And
That place is magical.
That place is magical. And I appreciate you carving some time out to come on this podcast. It was so refreshing to have a local guy on, and makes me feel really good. So I appreciate you coming on the podcast, Jake.
Anytime, man. Hopefully I'll do well at Gunnersville and I can come back on.
Well, that would be awesome. Good luck down there. Make Jersey proud. But got to follow in Greg's footsteps and win another one for us.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do my best.
That's awesome. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Jake. You're the man.
Thank you, Mike. You're the man, too.
We'll see. You take it easy.
Adios.
Bye. Guys, there you have it. Now, listen to me. You've heard a lot of podcasts before, but if that doesn't get to you, I don't know what's wrong with you. You're not alive. It's so great to hear from a regular guy, just a regular guy that has that passion, that burn, that desire for fishing. And I just love it. I love it, love it, love it. so refreshing to me. This far in my career, I'm an old guy now, 52 years old in a month or so here, but I still have that passion. And to hear it from, you know, a regular guy, a younger guy, especially from New Jersey, has that same passion, it's very, very refreshing. So I hope you enjoyed that one, man. I really, really, really did. Let me remind you, Abu Garcia, now the official sponsor of the Ike Live podcast. Go check them out over at abugarcia.com. Also, check out that Revo Rocket. If you heard it in the beginning of the podcast, I'm going to say it again. 7-6-1. Burning fast. Fire, flames coming off of the spool. Hot fuego. Go over to Tackle Warehouse and pick one up. Great for forward-facing sonar if you like that kind of fishing. Also, brought to you by the Ike Foundation. If you want to help get more kids fishing, head on over to the IkeFoundation.org. A lot of different ways to help. Head on over there and see how you could help. And also, we have a schedule of events over there. If you've got kids that want to go fishing all over the country, not just in the tri-state area, but all over the country, head over there and check out our website, IkeFoundation.org. Also, I want to end with just a little side note that amazing comments coming in every week on people really enjoying this new version of the show. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. We're still going to do some of the old Ike Lives with the old crew, especially around some of the holidays and stuff. But it's been fun for me to be more one-on-one with guests, just like Jake. It's been fun for me to get close, up close and personal with these guys and girls. And I appreciate the good comments. Keep them coming. Let us know what you want to hear. Let us know what guests you want to hear from. And definitely appreciate all the comments. Hope you enjoyed this show. I hope you have a great day, great week, great year. We'll see you at the next one. Bye, guys.
Do you fish for excitement? Do you fish for passion? Do you fish to get outside? Yeah! Or do you fish to win? Yeah! 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 Abu Garcia for life.
You know, right now where we're standing, we're in Camden, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Philadelphia is right there. This is the concrete jungle. And, you know, a lot of those kids, as they grow up, they don't fish. It's interesting because they're surrounded by water. You know, the Delaware River, the Schuylkill, ponds, city park lakes. But they don't have the influence to cast, to fish, to have a rod and reel. And that really, that became our focus, you know, is to target kids in what we call non-traditional areas, you know, urban areas, city centers, where the population's high, and let these kids have an experience. You know, it's amazing. I mean, some of the experiences we've had, whether it's Central Park in New York City, here in Camden, other parts of the country, even just casting.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to see it, isn't it?
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
And you know, you see these kids have this experience they've never had, and they light up, you know? The big thing, I think, for the Ike Foundation is we're not saying we want all these kids to become professional anglers.
No.
Be great if some of them did, but we want them to have that fishing experience because it ties them to so many other positive things. The outdoors, nature,
conservation.
Ecology, you know, all these amazing things in life that maybe they wouldn't have been exposed to any other way, we're trying to help with that. So it's important. It's important for us. Yeah. We're proud of it.
I subscribe to Bass U TV, and so should you.
Great place to learn about anything you want to know about bass fishing.
You get it at Bass U. We got the best of the best.
I'm not just an instructor, I'm a subscriber.
I'm John Cruz, and I am a subscriber.
You can always learn, and watching Bass U is definitely helps with that. It's something that I like to do, and it's definitely something that you need to do.
If I'm still learning, you should be too.
Subscribe to Bass U, because
you'll learn how to catch a lot more fish.
Ike Live, brought to you exclusively by Abu Garcia.